The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, February 20th. We're talking about a few of the main takeaways from the heated Democratic debate last night, Trump's historic yet controversial appointee, and why well-known athletes are speaking up. Plus, a new royal couple timeline, Uber's new reporting feature, and why Burger King is showing off a moldy Whopper. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Note Thursday's bonus interview about the coronavirus disease. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The ninth Democratic presidential debate was the most fiery one yet. The candidates came out swinging, largely against the guy on the debate stage for the first time in this race, Michael Bloomberg. Right away, the billionaire took relentless heat from every other candidate. The others know he's gotten up there in the national polls, and they haven't had a chance to go after him until now. So, for example, Bernie Sanders attacked Bloomberg for a stop-and-frisk policy he had while he was the mayor of New York, a policy Bloomberg has since apologized for. Elizabeth Warren grilled him for his alleged history of misogynistic comments and called on him to release women who worked with his company from non-disclosure agreements. Well, in a memorable moment, Bloomberg said no, later trying to pivot to a record of hiring and promoting women. Pete Buttigieg went after both Sanders and Bloomberg, saying they're the two most polarizing figures on the stage, one a Democratic socialist and the other a billionaire accused of buying the election. Bloomberg, though, hit back. He spent a lot of time attacking Sanders, who is leading in some of the latest national polls, saying there's no way Sanders could beat President Trump. He and others questioned why Sanders won't release his full medical records and criticized his Medicare for All plan. Well, Sanders said doctors have confirmed he's healthy, and both he and Warren defended their plans for government-run health care. As for Amy Klobuchar, she sparred a bit with Pete Buttigieg, and Joe Biden was sort of forgotten by the other candidates. He focused on touting his experience. It all happened in Las Vegas last night, and come this weekend, more voters will have their say. The Nevada caucuses are Saturday. By the way, while the Democratic debate was happening last night, Politico reports President Trump was holding a rally in Arizona where he launched his own attacks on the Democratic candidates. President Trump picked a new acting director of national intelligence, and his choice is both historic and controversial. And this is an important job, overseeing the country's 17 spy agencies and advising on issues including national security. Fox News reports President Trump chose Richard Grenell to take over. Grenell was U.S. spokesman at the U.N. during the Bush administration and most recently was the U.S. ambassador to Germany. Grenell will be the first openly gay cabinet secretary. But the controversial part is because he's a big supporter and defender of President Trump. A loyalist, literally. The Washington Post reports he's a gold member of the Trump Organization's loyalty program. His critics say Grenell doesn't have enough experience and Trump just thinks he'll do whatever Trump wants. At this point, it's not clear if Grenell will actually keep this top role for a long time. Trump would have to nominate him to be the permanent director of national intelligence, and then he would also need Senate confirmation. Some big-name athletes are calling on Major League Baseball to further punish the Houston Astros for cheating. We're talking about athletes like LeBron James, Aaron Judge, and Mike Trout. As a reminder, the Astros got caught stealing signs from opposing teams, so essentially their hitters knew which pitch was coming down the plate. And they did it the year the Astros won the World Series back in 2017. There was some fallout, but the MLB says the team still gets to keep the World Series title. And that has some people outraged. Basketball star LeBron James, for example, said he'd be irate if he lost a title to a team who didn't play fairly. Yankees standout Aaron Judge said they didn't win fair and square and should be stripped of the title. The Astros did apologize for the cheating, and a new season is right around the corner. In fact, the first games of spring training are tomorrow. Up-and-coming Brooklyn rapper Pop Smoke was shot and killed in Los Angeles. Reports say multiple people broke into the Hollywood Hills home where he was staying. The LA Times says investigators think this may have been a targeted attack against the 20-year-old rapper, and sources tell ABC News it's possibly gang-related. But police are still investigating. USA Today says Pop Smoke's real name is Bashar Baraka Jackson. He had just scored his first top 10 spot on the Billboard charts a few days ago. There's now a date. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will stop working as official royals as of March 31st. The timeline comes after the couple made a surprise announcement earlier this year when they decided to step back from their senior royal duties and become financially independent. Over the next month or so, the couple will still attend a few final royal events, but The Guardian reports their last outing will be for the Commonwealth Day service on March 9th. The events were announced as Buckingham Palace works to figure out whether the couple can keep using the word royal as part of their branding. For now, the couple will still be known as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex and will not be able to use their Royal Highness titles. Harry and Meghan will still be visiting the UK, but will spend a lot of their time in Canada. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break for our sponsor this week, Blinkist. I'm always so excited to tell you about one of my favorite go-to apps. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and one low price. And you have options. It works on your phone, tablet, or web browser, and you can read or listen to your picks in just about 15 minutes. Yep, an entire book broken into the 15 minutes of key takeaways. It's great for a quick commute, or I like to pull Blinkist up on my smartphone whenever I'm waiting around for something or need a quick reminder about a concept or topic. There's a huge library to choose from. Check out popular books like Sea Stories, My Life in Special Operations, or read about the topics like artificial intelligence with the AI economy. Go to Blinkist.com/news to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription when you sign up at Blinkist.com/news. That's B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/news to start your free 7-day trial and save 25% off. Now, back to the news. Teenagers tend to spend a lot of time on TikTok, but now parents can limit that. It's part of a new family safety mode, which lets parents link their TikTok account to their kids. TechCrunch says once they're connected, parents can control how much time their kids are spending on the app each day and also limit direct messages and block inappropriate content. The company also partnered with some top TikTok celebs to create videos that remind people to get off the app, meant for users who have spent too much time watching videos. The family safety mode is only available in the UK for now, but will be coming to other markets soon. If riders are uncomfortable during a trip, Uber wants to know about it ASAP. So it's rolling out a new tool called on-trip reporting, which lets riders report a non-emergency issue while the trip is actually happening. Think reckless driving or drivers asking inappropriate questions. USA Today says before now, riders would have to wait to give feedback until after the trip. Uber plans to use the new reports to educate drivers and make other safety tools. You can find the on-trip reporting under the Safety Toolkit in the Uber app. The office supply store Staples is making major changes to get people into its retail stores. Maybe you've heard of the new Staples Connect. The stores are designed to be part store, part co-working and community spaces. And now the newest thing, podcast studios, as podcasting becomes even more popular. Staples is partnering with the podcast company Spreaker and iHeartRadio to bring podcast recording studios to 6 of its stores in Boston, at least to start. A one-hour session will cost $60. Burger King announced it'll remove all preservatives from its famous Whopper, and to prove it, the fast food chain is showing off how the food gets moldy and disgusting. The ad shows what happens to the new preservative-free Whopper after about a month, and yes, it turns moldy, saying the beauty of real food is that it gets ugly. NBC News says all Whoppers should be preservative-free by the end of this year. So far, the more natural burger is already being served in 400 locations in the U.S. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about the coronavirus disease with the doctor you may have seen in the new Netflix docuseries, Pandemic: How to Prevent an Outbreak. Dr. Syra Madad is the senior director of the System-Wide Special Pathogens Program for a city hospital system. And I asked her, is this the next pandemic she knew would eventually come? Hi, Dr. Madad. Thank you so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me.
So first, I want to help establish what is a coronavirus, and let's talk about the new name given to it, COVID-19.
So coronaviruses are part of a family of what we call RNA viruses, and they typically cause mild respiratory disease in humans. And there's been a couple that obviously have caused more severe diseases. And this is, SARS, which is severe acute respiratory disease, and then MERS, which is Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. So both are part of the coronavirus family and have caused more severe diseases. But there are coronaviruses that actually even cause the common cold. And there's about 7 coronaviruses known to infect humans. The current epidemic that we're seeing here in China, as well as a number of cases in over 24 countries around the world, is part of the coronavirus family, and it's called coronavirus disease 19. And this is a new designation that the World Health Organization has given. Before it was called novel coronavirus, and now it's obviously called COVID-19.
It's a bit strange to think about the timing of that newly released Netflix documentary Pandemic, where you're featured, and you say in it, another pandemic is going to happen, we just don't know when. So do you think this will be the next pandemic, and what makes it a pandemic?
I do believe this will be the next pandemic. I think really we're probably already in it. It's just a matter of it being designated as a pandemic. And the word pandemic just means that it is widespread throughout the world, if you will. It's just a designation that the World Health Organization can give a given outbreak. Sometimes people like to say, if it hits 4 continents, it's a pandemic, but not necessarily. Each pandemic is very different. And I think the threshold or the trigger point for the coronavirus disease epidemic that's happening in China and the rest of the world is if we start seeing even more community transmission in these countries. And what community transmission essentially means is that, you're seeing more cases in the community, person to person. So, it's basically now, similar to seasonal flu, you're able to get it more easily. It's kind of in the environment, if you will, in the community.
And just curious your thoughts. I mean, it's just a coincidence that Netflix documentary came out right around the time we started learning about this.
That's right. And a bit of this is unfortunate, but at the same time, it gives folks, something to see in terms of what the folks that are on the front lines are actually doing in real life to combat a real life epidemic or pandemic situation. The actual launch of Pandemic, How to Prevent an Outbreak, the Netflix docuseries, was actually set in December. So it wasn't set just because the coronavirus disease outbreak started. So it was actually set a while ago. So it was just by chance that it just coincided with obviously a true pandemic situation unfolding.
So we've talked a little bit about the global spread of this disease, but because most of the listeners on this show are in the U.S., I want to talk a little bit about what's happening here. So far, there have been a limited number of cases here in the U.S. Do you expect that to hold? And do Americans need to be concerned that it'll continue to spread more here?
So right now, we know what the Centers for Disease Control is stating is that the risk to the general American population is low. So we obviously have, over 24 cases, about 29 cases here in the United States. And we do anticipate that this number is going to continue to increase for a couple of reasons. First, this outbreak is not going anywhere soon. It's going to continue to expand and evolve. I think it's going to get much worse before it gets any better. And so with that, you're going to obviously see more individuals coming through. We may actually start seeing some community transmission here in the United States, just because this is a respiratory virus. And it's very hard to contain respiratory viruses, similar to seasonal flu. Imagine trying to contain seasonal flu. You can't.
Reports have shown that some fear about this virus has prompted some discrimination against certain people or communities in various countries. Does that seem to come along with these new types of outbreaks? And is there anything from the past that we can learn from?
So similarly, we've been here before. And unfortunately, one of the things people need to understand is that infectious diseases don't respect boundaries. And for that matter, everyone is susceptible. So just because an outbreak started in a specific geographic area, it's not implicated with those individuals. We are obviously seeing a lot more of that, particularly here in even New York City, where the mayor de Blasio has made very strong statements that this is not going to be tolerated here. A number of obviously festivities have been canceled in the Asian community, and it's very sad. And we've unfortunately seen this in past outbreaks, even in the 2014 Ebola outbreak that started in West Africa. And obviously we had only 11 cases here in the United States, and the majority of them were medically evacuated. We did see that there were some discrimination against the African-American population. And we see this time and time and again, unfortunately, and people just really need to understand that, you know, it's not the fault of any particular, you know, group of individuals or background. Everyone is susceptible. So just because it started in one particular area doesn't mean that they're the one that are harboring the virus, if you will. You see individuals that are on cruise ships, obviously getting infected, and they're not obviously all Asians. And so, you know, things to really put into perspective.
And final question, what's happening right now behind the scenes to create a treatment or vaccine? And when might we actually see some sort of vaccine for this?
So vaccines are difficult to obviously manufacture and develop. And there has been political support and funding to actually develop a vaccine for the coronavirus disease. I think we're at least a year out. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and you have to go through clinical trials and so on and so forth. So actual therapeutics, you know, we are seeing reports in China that there are over 70 different pharmaceutical drugs that are, you know, being tested to see if they would work, you know, against the coronavirus disease. But one thing to remember is this is a viral infection. So antiviral medication is what would work, not antibiotics. This is not a bacteria. But certainly right now, no vaccine that's currently available, no actual therapeutic or treatment. A lot of it's still being investigated. And we're still a bit of a ways out to actually find a vaccine, or even for that matter, an actual therapeutic agent that would work against coronavirus disease. But some do look very promising.
And Dr. Madad reminds us of what we've talked about here on The Newsworthy before, that most cases, about 80%, are said to be mild. And there may be even more mild cases where people don't even go to a healthcare provider to report this. So while it's still a concern, it's also important to put this into context. And of course, Dr. Madad says it's up to all of us to take preventative measures like hand washing and staying home when we're sick. You can read more about our guest and this topic in today's show notes. As always, you can read more about all the news stories mentioned today at thenewsworthy.com/show notes. Thank you so much for listening today. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. We'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.